The following broadcast is intended solely for people of 18 years of age or more. We are not told what we can and cannot broadcast. Because of this, the show may contain themes and subjects such as violence, sex, money, conspiracy, and religion that may be deemed as unsuitable for the ears of those under adult age. If you wish to disagree or pass comment on anything mentioned in this show, please ring our line on 0845 688 1052. The show begins at 10 p.m. and ends at 1 a.m. Tardiness will not be tolerated. The show will remain loyal to those that remain loyal to it.
Alrighty then, this is it, the big show, live to the nation. It's the night before here on Kerrang Radio. My name is Nicholas Paul Marge Harrison. How the bloody hell are we? Thanks for tuning in. Listen, on tonight's show, we're going to cover some glorious ground. Yeah, we're going to be covering the ground known as evolution. Yeah, is it true that you and I evolved? We evolved from simple beings. Could that possibly be true? Were we evolved from monkeys? Or is it the case that the magic man that lives in the sky made us with magic, as written in the Bible? Listen, you'll be able to find out on tonight's show as we have the great evolution debate. Phone lines are wide open. 0845 688 1052 is the number. We're going to have two people debating it on the airwaves very soon, and then you're going to be able to chip in with your own thoughts and feelings on the idea of evolution. Also on tonight's show, we're going to be talking to Joan Ocean. She's going to be describing her incredible adventures with Bigfoot. Yeah. And on tonight's show, we're going to be joined by Doris Cohen. Doris Cohen's going to be doing some past life regression with Amy Jones. Yeah, we're going to see if Amy Jones has any past lives on tonight's show. Okay, listen, stand by. On tonight's show, we're going to be having the evolution debate. It's going to potentially get heated, and it might shock you as well, because if you're one of those people who sat there thinking, oh yeah, evolution, that's fact, everyone believes in that, you may genuinely be shocked when you hear people arguing that actually, evolution is not a done deal and there's still a debate to be had. 0845 688 1052 is the number. Here's a little glimpse of what's going to happen soon.
What are your qualifications in science? What are your qualifications?
Why do I have that qualification? Look at the truth and examine it.
No, no, but if
now,
if
now
I
was, you're making an ad hominem attack because you can't attack the truth itself.
No, what I'm saying is...
That's typical of my evolution, is they'll say, well, this person doesn't have qualification to analyze this. He's basically saying, you're stupid, he's smart, you're not smart to understand this information, so he has to interpret it for you.
What? You will be genuinely shocked when you hear the evolution debate on the way in about 10, 15 minutes' time from now.
I would like to present the world premiere of the new...
This is too weird!
Is indeed Weird Wednesday, taking your calls throughout the night. 0845 688 1052. Whereabouts do you stand? Are you a sweaty, hairy monkey? Yeah? Have you evolved? Are you a disgusting animal? 0845 688 1052. That's my phone number. Or maybe you're a child of God. Maybe you were made by the magic man in the sky. 0845 688 1052. That's the number that people are lining up on either side of the evolution debate. And we will crack open that can of worms bang on 11 o'clock here on Kerrang. Look forward to talking to you soon. 0845 688 1052. Right, still recovering from yesterday's show.
In my school, we are not allowed to go into the diner or the library without giving our fingerprint. I've been banned 3 times for trying to get in without giving them my fingerprint.
You've been banned for not giving over your fingerprint details?
Yeah, well, I refuse to give it to them because I think it's really unfair that we should have to give something that's quite individual like that. And they told me not to come back in, and I've gone back in again because I need to eat during the day. And I don't want to have to go all the way out of school to a co-op when there's perfectly good food in my own school. I've got away with it for sort of a few months now. I'm going to see if I can get... I've only got a year left and I'm not leaving my school with my fingerprint on file.
Now, a genuinely worrying show last night as we continued to unearth the extent of fingerprinting that's been rolled out almost in secret across the whole of the UK. And 0845 688 1052 is the number. We may take some calls on that as the show chugs along.
What if we all worked for free and then we could get anything we wanted and the whole world was in on it?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, is it? Do you think it would work?
Yeah, I do, and I think if the people that didn't want to work just got food and beverages, I think the people in Africa as well, that if everybody had a home, everybody got one home, then they could get plumbing and water and homes and, you know, they wouldn't be out on a limb.
Go, dishing out some truth nuggets on last night's show. 0845 688 1052 being the number. Got an intriguing email here. Hello, Nick. Your outlook on life is so, so positive, man. Keep it up. Don't let the ray of light fade. You are the epitome of human civilization. I wish I could say stuff like that back in my home country. One more thing. I, too, have a genuine hatred towards humans. Bye-bye now. I don't know what that email was about, but thanks for it nonetheless. I don't think I have a hatred of human beings. I just think we need to pull our socks up and start behaving more like human beings.
Right, I'm on sickness benefit, right? I take 12 different tablets a day. I've got off my backside and I do some voluntary work. And as far as I'm concerned, all the government is doing with the unemployment is it's another hot potato and pick, conquer, divide.
Oh, big time.
Now, with the single mothers is, what people don't take into consideration is the fact, if they go to work, they're only working part-time, they've still got to pay for childcare, they still end up getting benefits off the council, etc. So at the end of the day, those single mothers not working will end up costing the government more money than still paying the benefits. So I can't understand why the government are turning around and making them a target.
Yeah, now they've turned around and said, oh yeah, let's use lie detector tests to see if people are cheating on their benefits. Unbelievable, lie detector tests. It's like they've turned to Jeremy Kyle for advice on how they should sort out benefit cheats. Do you know, they're only 65% accurate, those things. All right, the most recent studies in America reveal those things are 65% accurate. Unbelievable.
Crank.
The Night Before with Nick Margerison.
Listen, it's Kerrang! The Night Before. Hello, my name is Nicholas Paul Margerison. Thanks for tuning in. If you are an enemy of mine, I'm the fourth pope of the Church of Discordia, and therein enlightenment lies. If you're a friend of mine, I'm El Presidente, ruler of the entire universe. And if you've never met me, but I'm some bloke that you've just heard on the radio, I am Nicholas Paul Margerison. Hello. Listen, here's what's going to happen on tonight's show. We have a big debate about evolution brewing. People are calling the show right now. Looking at it, it seems largely stacked in favour of people who believe in evolution, which is fair enough. That's what you'd imagine, isn't it? 0845 688 1052. That's the number. We will take some calls about that very soon indeed. And what I suggest, if you want to get yourself onto the airwaves, you don't hang about, you call the show as soon as possible in order to guarantee yourself a place on Kerrang. 0845 688 1052. Right, so I pick up a copy of the Mirror. And there's a picture of Beyonce, and I'm not a fan of her music, but man, she's an attractive woman. There's no getting out of that, is there? She's definitely an attractive woman. And so, you know, I don't really think anything other than, oh, that's a nice picture of her. And then I realise what the story's about. And there's an arrow pointing there, Amy Jones, to the...
It's gross.
To
it's
the
disgusting.
Armpit of Beyonce.
She's got long, hairy armpits.
Do you want to explain what's disgusting about it?
She's got hairy armpits.
Right.
That's what's disgusting about it.
But you do realise that that's what happens to people when they get hairy. I mean, men...
Yeah, but I don't
would
mind...
Would your boyfriend have to shave his armpits?
No, no, I don't mind hairy armpits on men. It's fine. It's just... It just no,
you
I
don't
know
mind
you're gonna,
it on men?
I know you're going to say, oh,
so
you're
you don't like it on women?
Stuff. No.
That's because you are being
no,
sexist.
No, I'm not being sexist. I'm just saying
so
that...
So women aren't allowed to be natural,
no,
but
right.
Men can be.
No, right. I don't necessarily mind if a boy is a bit stinky. Because they smell a little bit.
Mm.
But when a girl has hairy armpits, it just implies that she's not that clean.
What? So you don't mind a boy...
I mean,
hang on, I don't understand. You don't mind a boy who's stinky, right?
Yeah.
You don't have a problem with that.
You can smell... Yeah,
you
I don't,
don't have
smell
a problem
him.
With them having underarm hair, right? But women... Our women can't be natural. Women can't be how we really are. Women can't be allowed to have hairs and what
men
the hell's wrong
men
with
don't
you?
Find it attractive. Men don't find it attractive.
What?
And I've been
to have hairy armpits on
for
women.
For women to have hairy armpits.
That's
I've been
their
in
problem.
Many, I've been in many situations where men have just not.
I can, I'm amazed.
Kind of
I'm amazed you're saying this. I didn't expect you to say this at all. I expected you to say, yeah, so what? She's got a bit of hair under her armpits.
No,
she's
it
human.
Freaks. It genuinely freaks me out a
Why?
Little bit. I don't know, but it freaks me out.
That is so
when
weird.
When I see hairy armpits, it does. Freak me out.
Why?
I don't know. Because it's just...
That's
weird.
That's a double standard.
It's not double. Okay, it's, well.
Hang on, senior producer Alex, armpit hair on women, not a problem, no?
No, I don't like it.
You don't like
it? No, I just think women look better without it.
Why?
Just because they're nice and clean and shiny, well, and it's just better.
What the hell is
you
wrong?
Don't
want you two are weird.
All, you don't want a girl looking all gruff and manly.
Exactly.
You two are weird.
There's a difference between man and woman, and that.
What would you think of a
girl? A woman is shaven and a man is not.
What do you think if a girl had a beard? Imagine right. If you rocked up to a bar, it's a really nice woman, you went, oh, she's nice. Turn around, she had a massive beard.
I think she probably had a hormone problem.
Well, because you can be nice about it, of course.
Well, I mean, what are obviously. You... I don't.
But I'm saying you wouldn't find it attractive, would you?
I don't know.
You wouldn't be like, wow, what a looker. A
I don't
girl
know.
With a beard.
I honestly don't know.
Whereas with a man with a beard, yeah.
You'd be like, yeah, wicked, he's got a beard. Nice.
I honestly don't know.
No offense to women that have got beards, but it's not the same thing, is it?
Because the point here is that a beard on a woman doesn't usually happen. That's a hormone problem, usually. Whereas hair... Every single woman listening to the show at the moment has hair growing under
the
armpit.
Do you not mind hairy legs
you,
then either?
No, of course not.
What?
What's the problem with hairy
legs?
With
hairy
you?
Like my legs.
Yeah, what's the problem with that? That's fine.
What? So if you crawled into bed with your lady and she had legs like mine...
I would not mind.
You'd be like, wow, yeah.
You see, this is what annoys me. That no matter how many times I tell my girlfriend this, she doesn't believe me. She thinks I'm being nice. I don't have a problem with hair on a woman. It's just... That's natural. That's
really?
How we look. That's what happens. You know, it's a sign that she's an adult. That's what happens when you hit puberty. You start getting hair. You know, and that's just how it is.
I remember once being with a guy and I hadn't shaved, and I was so embarrassed and so humiliated. I thought about it for days and days. I was just like, he's going to think I'm disgusting. But it's just because
so
it was a certain
weird.
Time of the month.
That
sort
is
of.
So weird. Am I the only person listening to this conversation who thinks that is really genuinely weird and that something's gone wrong in our society? 0845-688-1052. Why do women have to shave their armpits and legs? What's that about? That doesn't make any sense to me. Does anyone know the history of that? 0845-688-1052. And is there anyone else in the entire world who agrees with me that there's nothing wrong with a woman having hair under her armpits? That's just how it works. It's natural.
Kerrang Radio.
The Night Before with Nick Margerison.
Right. Believe it or not, there's a big controversy that's brewing in this country in a big way and has been raging in America for quite some time about evolution. Because some people, right, they don't believe in evolution. They think that it's not true. So what we're going to do is we're going to get two people on the airwaves, one of whom thinks evolution isn't true and one of whom believes in evolution. And the two of them are going to make their points. And then you're going to be able to call the show and tell me what you reckon as regards evolution. Is it true or is it just barmy old cack? Kerrigan Skelly. Now, Kerrigan, I want to thank you for joining us on the show. The way that I came into contact with you is I was flicking around YouTube and I found a YouTube channel called Skelly's 3, right? And on there, you're stood in a park arguing with people and the title of the YouTube video is Evolution is Stupid. And stupid is in capital letters with an exclamation mark. So you really mean it. So listen, we're going to give you 1 minute 30 to explain to the nation why evolution is stupid.
All right, well, there's six different kinds of evolution. I believe in one of them. The five I don't believe in, which are big fat lies, which are stupid, are cosmic evolution, chemical evolution, stellar and planetary evolution, organic evolution, and macroevolution. What I do believe is microevolution, because it's scientific. It's been proven through testing, through observing, through doing these things in laboratories. But these other five are outside of science. We have no knowledge of those. We haven't observed them. We haven't tested them. We haven't proven them. Therefore, they're not science. They're religion. And I think they're probably the stupidest religions ever appeared on the face of mankind. But what I do believe is that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the general kinds of animals and beings and plants. And from there, we've had several different species from those kinds. Yes, I believe in the beginning God. There's a designer, a creator in the beginning. And we see the mark that all over the world, that there is a designer, there is a creator. We see that through the intricacy in life, through the order in the universe. And I think to say anything otherwise is a step outside of what we know, out of the realm of knowledge, and step into the realm of blind faith. Because what we do know is that life comes from life. Life doesn't come from non-life. We know that if you see a design inside of something, we know it had a designer. We look at a painting, it must have had a painter. We'll never stumble upon a painting and say, well, it didn't have a painter. That would be ridiculous and ludicrous to say so. So those are some of the reasons why I don't believe in these five kinds of evolution.
Right, now we're going to get Simon Singh on the airwaves. Now, Simon's an author. You've written a book called The Big Bang, Simon, and I'm going to give you a minute and a half to state why you think that evolution is the way that we came into being.
Science is about trying to find natural explanations for natural phenomena. And scientists don't get everything right. There are lots of gaps, lots of questions, but you develop theories. And if a theory is good, well, that's because there's plenty of evidence to back it up and not much evidence to undermine it. So let's look at the theory of evolution by natural selection. And that's the really critical part here. There are lots of different types of evolution. Evolution just means that things change. But evolution by natural selection was Darwin's great discovery, one of the greatest discoveries of humankind ever. And this simply says, and I'm sure it's one of those things that lots of people have studied at school, is that if you have a population of different organisms with different attributes, those that have elements to their being that help them survive will go on to survive, and they'll pass on those attributes to the next generation. And that next generation will be slightly fitter and stronger and better than the previous one to survive in that particular environment. And thus, the tree of life kind of develops and emerges. So why do we believe that it's such a good theory? Well, there's just evidence here, there, and everywhere. You can look at the fossil record, and you can see how animals and plants have changed through the billions of years that life has been here. You can look at the genetic record. You can see how genes from different animals change and develop one upon the other. One of the really interesting things is that the genetic record is really kind of messed up. If you look at the human genes, there's all sorts of crud and junk that really shouldn't be there. But the reason it's there is because we haven't been designed by a higher being. We're the result of random mutations through time governed by natural selection.
Okay, so there's your minute and a half.
Oh, gosh, I thought it much better than I thought I would.
So listen, Kerrigan, what do you say to that? I mean, what's your thoughts on what Simon's just said?
Well, what I think Simon just described, with all due respect, is microevolution. I mean, I don't think anyone who's in science disagrees that there's change over time. But to make the leap of faith from changes within a kind, you know, a plant's always going to produce a plant. A dog's always going to produce a dog. A horse, always a horse. To take that leap of faith to say, well, you have these different kind of horses, and leap and say, well, a horse can become something else, is taking a leap of faith from microevolution to macroevolution. You can't use a fossil to promote, all the species that we see today coming from the same organism billions of years ago. All you know about a fossil when you find it is that it died, and it died right there. You don't know if it had any offspring. You certainly don't know that it had offspring different from what than what it was. Because all we know today is when these animals and these plants who have offspring, they have the same kind of offspring they are. And when it comes to genetics, simply put, we have no evidence at all of there being added information to the gene code. What we see is mutations of what is already in the gene code. But to go from one kind of animal to another kind of animal, you have to have added information. For example, a reptile has to have added information for feathers. But we've never observed that. They simply assume that based on their own presuppositions.
Right, so that's interesting stuff. So, Simon, what Kerrigan's saying there is that, you know, you can't presume, you look at a little fossil of an insect, you can't presume that that's going to evolve into, something more advanced than an insect.
Yeah, well, what I found very interesting was that Kerrigan said that fossils can't tell us what happened billions of years ago. So Kerrigan, are you happy that the universe is indeed billions of years old and that the planet Earth is billions of years old? I was slightly surprised that you accepted that so readily.
Oh, no, I didn't accept that. I was stepping into your worldview and doing an internal critique. I was basing on your presupposition.
You. How old do you think the world is?
Probably between 6 and 10,000 years old.
6 and 10,000 years old. And how do you work out that kind of number? Because as most people listening may know, that the universe, the Earth is about 4.5 billion years old according to science. I think it's more like 4,500 years old. How do you get that number?
I get it from the Bible, but I'd ask you, how do you get your number? I mean, were you there?
No. No, I'm a lot younger than I was.
I mean, if we're going to deal with origins here, Science really can't deal with origins because none of us were there. No scientists were there.
You just asked me a question.
So the only way you can deal with origins is if you talk to someone or get revelation from someone who was there. And guess what? The only person that was there was God.
Do you want me to answer your question? You asked me how do I know how old the Earth is. There are several ways you can do it. One is by looking at rates of deposition of land or rates of rise of land to see how long it would take for mountains to grow or how long it would take for land to form and so on, or for land to be eroded. More directly, you can look at what we call radioactive dating. We know that certain elements decay into other elements. And by looking at the ratio between what we call the mother element and the daughter element, we can work out how old a rock may be. And when you do all of these measurements, pretty much they all come around to a number of about 4 billion years old. Now, what Kerrigan's saying is that he denies anything that science is going to give him because he's always going to put the Bible as being his primary source of information. Now, there are many scientists who are religious and open-minded. Galileo said God gave us a brain, and he gave us a brain to understand the universe around us. Georges Lemaître, the guy who came up with the Big Bang idea, was a Jesuit priest. He said there are two ways of arriving at the truth, the Bible and science. The Bible was for spiritual truth, and I'll give you all of that. But he said science was for material truth, about understanding the universe. But you seem to just deny anything that science is going to say about the world because you're always going to go back to the Bible. And if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But it's not science.
Well, that's not what I've done, first of all. Second of all, these dating methods like carbon dating, radiometric dating, argon, potassium argon dating, they've been proven to be flawed in their application. For example, one woolly mammoth, his skin was dated 25,000 years old, and then his leg was dated 16,000 years old. And this, we have I don't have off the top of my head, we have example after example of these dating methods not working properly because they're based on faulty presuppositions. So
that's
make
interesting
all these
stuff. So, Kerrigan, are you telling us that woolly mammoths and dinosaurs and stuff like that coexisted with human beings?
I sure do, yeah. I mean, you see it in the Bible. You see Job chapter 40. You see Job talking about dinosaurs there, describing animals that could have only have been a dinosaur. So there's actually drawings of people drawing dinosaur-looking animals. Before archaeology came along.
Simon, what do you think of that?
I just think Kerrigan's a rather naive chap. The vast majority, overwhelming majority of professors in geology and physics and chemistry and earth studies, every single one to a man, Jack, 99% of them in reputable universities will say that the age of the earth is some 4 to 5 billion years old.
Okay, so that's
and the
interesting.
Data is
so
consistent,
Kerrigan,
and yet Kerrigan has the arrogance to deny all of that because of some woolly mammoth leg. It's just not rational.
Okay, well, that's pretty serious.
No,
Kerrigan, you're arrogant and you're naive.
Oh, yeah. I like the way he puts that. I appreciate that, Simon. But majority does not decide truth. The evidence decides truth. And what we know from the evidence is that these dating methods are not working properly.
What are your qualifications in science? Kerrigan, what are your qualifications?
Why do I have that qualification? Look at the truth and examine it.
No, but if
now,
if
now
I were,
you're making an ad hominem attack because you can't attack the truth itself.
No, what I'm saying is...
That's typical of my evolution, is they'll say, well, this person doesn't have qualification to analyze this. He's basically saying, you're stupid, he's smart, you're not smart to understand this information, so he has to interpret it for you.
I'm saying that I'm not a geologist, I'm not an earth scientist, so what I do is I read about what earth scientists write about and what geologists write about and evolutionary biologists write about. And I'm not smart enough to look at those things. It's not my area of speciality. But I look at what the world expert opinion says, and it says that the world is 4.5 billion years old, and that gives enough time for evolution to have occurred, which is kind of gets us back to where we started. I don't have the arrogance to say I know everything, which is kind of what you're saying. You're flying in the face of the whole world of scientific opinion. I'm not. I'm just saying these guys are smart. These women have studied this for years. Together, they seem to give us a worldview that works.
So, Kerrigan,
no, I'm not flying in the face of all this opinion. You go to discovery.org, and you'll see a list of thousands of scientists who reject the theory of evolution as being a lie. If you want to use this issue of so many people are coming against this Maya position, you're wrong.
You're flip-flopping between two opinions.
Hello? Has he gone? Simon's gone. Kerrigan, you still with us?
Well, maybe that was God. I don't know. But discovery.org, there's plenty of scientists out there who reject this theory.
I think if that was God, God cheated a bit.
But that,
hey,
that,
well, hey, God, God has the authority to do something like that.
I think he's gone.
You know,
hang on. Simon, are you there?
I don't know what happened. I've just come back now.
Well, we think maybe God cut you off.
I think it was probably a solar storm.
I think it might have been God. listen, guys, I want to sum up your positions, right?
What it comes down to is, where does life come from? Can life come from non-life? Can it spontaneously come up from non-life? We didn't come from rocks billions of years ago. We came from a God who created us in his image and he expects us to live a certain way.
You know,
because we haven't lived that way, there'll be a judgment day. And God expects us to repent of our sins and put our trust in Christ as our Savior.
Hey, Kerrigan, I look forward to that. Kerrigan's saying that he's relying on experts and the Bible. What are you relying upon, Simon?
I think what I'm relying on is not cherry-picking. Cherry-picking is a habit that we can get into where we look at the things that back up our argument and we ignore the things that disagree with our argument. In science, what you have to do is be open-minded and look at all of the evidence and see how it all fits together. And the most wonderful thing is, and it's something that makes the human spirit fly, is that we've invented this thing called the theory of evolution by natural selection and explains so much of the world around us. It's something we should celebrate and enjoy and be proud of. It's not perfect. There are gaps there. And young people listening today may go on and fill in those gaps. But the evidence is there. And as far as we know, it's the best theory we've got, and it's a wonderful theory.
Okay, so listen, chaps, I want to thank you for joining us, I thought you both held your positions well.
No problem, thanks.
My pleasure.
So, what do you think? Do you believe in evolution? 0845-688-1052. Or do you believe in the Bible? 0845-688-1052. We'll take some calls and we'll see exactly how many people listening to the show in the United Kingdom at this present moment agree with Kerrigan, and how many people listening to the show in this present moment here in the United Kingdom agree with Simon.
Kerrang!
It's the night before. My name's Nick Margerison. Okay, as we go through these calls, Amy Jones, what I want you to do, anyone who engages in the evolution debate, I want you to take a note of whereabouts they stand, if they think evolution's a proven fact, or just some crazy barmy theory, all right?
I have pen and paper ready.
We'll keep a track of it as we go through. 0845-688-1052 is the phone number. You call the show, you end up on the airwaves, and you can talk to me about anything in the entire world. However, the subject of evolution is currently being debated. Right, let's take a few of these calls, let's see what's happening. Paul in Burton. Paul's on Kerrang, and I guess you're ringing us to tell us that evolution is a fact that can't be debated, right?
No, I'm not. I'm actually ringing to support the guy that was talking about evolution not being a fact.
Oh, right. Okay, well, do yourself a favour. Turn the radio down in the background, because otherwise that'll put you off whilst we talk about this. Okay. Right, so Paul's getting the radio done, right?
So, okay.
Good, yeah. So tell us your thoughts.
Well, I think that when you posed the question, you talked about him saying that this is what the Bible taught, but I don't think he was saying that. I think he was saying that there is evidence from genuine scientific sources that suggest that evolution is wrong. Can I just give you two examples?
Oh, yeah.
Professor Richard Lewontin, a leading geneticist, says this: Darwinian evolution is only a hypothesis and one which is in considerable scientific trouble. Another guy, Dr. C. Custance, who is a fellow of the Royal Anthropological Institute and a member of the New York Academy of Scientists, he says this: virtually all the fundamentals of orthodox evolutionary faith, he calls it, has shown themselves to be either of extremely doubtful validity or simply contrary to fact. So basic are these erroneous assumptions that the whole theory is now largely maintained in spite of, rather than because of, the evidence. And even Richard Dawkins, the kind of Dion of evolution, has admitted that he cannot prove evolution. He says, I believe, but I cannot prove that all life, all intelligence, all creativity and all design anywhere in the universe is the direct or indirect product of Darwinian natural selection. That's a direct quote from Richard Dawkins. So I do agree
Hang on, Paul, are you saying that the jury is out on this one?
Definitely, yeah, most definitely. And the pendulum is swinging away from evolution all the time.
What's it swinging towards, then?
It's swinging towards what many scientists would call intelligent design.
Right.
They're not ascribing this to God necessarily, but they're talking about intelligent design.
So what's intelligent design? What does that mean?
Intelligent design means that when you look at living organisms like the human cell, for example, or any cell, when Darwin was around, it was just a lump of plasma with a neutron and a few bits and pieces in it. But now they've discovered so much more in a cell that when you break it right down, there's something called a flagellum, for example, which is like a little motor, and it's made up of protein,
yeah.
And it cannot be reduced anymore. It cannot be made any more simple. So in other words, this cannot have evolved. You know, if you take one tiny part of it away, it fails to work.
So you're saying that someone came along and made it?
That's what intelligent design says, yeah. They're not saying it was God,
that's
necessarily.
So who made the person who made it?
Well, they don't know that, do they? They say intelligent design is...
Because the beauty of evolution, I guess, is that, you know, it's sort of intuitive, isn't it? If we look around, right, you and I, we know we weren't made, don't we? You know you weren't made, obviously, you know that, don't you? No one made you, did they?
No one made me. No.
You grew, didn't you?
I grew.
And there's
yeah.
a difference, a very important difference. Like a flower. Flower grows, it's not made. Whereas, you know, a toy car, you'd make a toy car, wouldn't
yeah.
you? Put the bits together. So you, for example, you grew. And that's what evolution says, isn't it? That everything that's alive has grown from simple seeds, right? From little things and grown into big things.
That's right, but within a species. Evolution tries to tell us that things jump from one species to another or evolve into a different species. Now there is no evidence for that. The guy on your program earlier on said that.
On your show earlier on said that
genetic information is only lost when things are selectively bred. They're not improved. That's why a dog can only breed with dogs. A dog and a cat can't breed to have a kind of a half-bred dog and cat. It doesn't work.
Right.
So what
you're saying is that when, say if me and you, right, say if you were, say if I was a woman, right, and me and you, Paul, right, we hooked up and we had sex, right, we had a good session of sex, and then I gave birth to a kid, what you're saying is that there's no possible way that kid could be an improvement on you and I.
No. It can't
really?
Be an improvement. Genetically, it can't be. It might be more intelligent.
So what you're saying is rather than people improving over time, we're actually just getting worse and degrading and becoming, you know, more of a mess. Fascinating stuff. This is big stuff. So this is where science is heading now, is it?
I think the jury is out. A lot of scientists are publishing now and writing articles and doing research that suggests that the evidence for intelligent design outweighs the evidence for evolution, the macroevolution that you're talking about,
right.
Not microevolution, not evolution within a species. I mean, right. a Great Dane is a dog and a Chihuahua is a dog.
Right.
They're very different,
yeah.
but they're both a dog, and that is microevolution.
Well, I wouldn't argue with that. Listen, thanks for the call. Paul in Burton, 0845-688-1052. Amy Jones, make a note.
I have made a note already.
So far, as the evolution debate chugs along, we're clocking up. The majority of people listening to the show at the moment think there's no such evolution. The jury's out. It's a theory. It's one of many ideas. And intelligent design, you know, that's the way things are swinging. Okay. 0845-688-1052. It's a show, not a programme. You know, let's take some more calls. Let's see what other people think. Let's talk to Esther in Lincoln. Esther, you're on Kerrang. What are your thoughts, Esther?
Hello.
What have you got to tell us?
To be honest, right, evolution does exist.
Always be honest, Esther. Yeah. Evolution
yeah.
does exist.
It does, because we learn from our mistakes, therefore we should be evolving from the fact that we learn from our mistakes.
Right.
Otherwise we can never move on.
Right.
So
what you're saying is the fact that we learn from our mistakes, that's kind of proof of evolution.
It is. And, like, also, like, when we're creating more and more things, we're creating more artificial intelligence. Yes. Therefore, we're evolving because we're figuring things out. And then we're learning from mistakes, figuring things out and creating things.
Right, but that's the evolution of ideas, isn't it? I mean, what we're talking about is
we have evolved because we can go through, like, the whole thing of religion.
Yes.
Because, like, God created all. Right. And it'd be like the whole chicken and the egg debate because in Genesis it says God created animals and, thing, you know, mm-hmm. and it doesn't say anything about eggs. But mm-hmm. we have because, like...
So God didn't... So what you're saying is, which came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken, because it says in the Bible that God created chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, God, about the eggs.
So that's that eternal question solved. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? The answer is chickens. It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then they created eggs, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
And to like, it's a hard debate because with evolution we have evolved because
we are evolving. But what you're saying is you're having the best of both worlds, aren't you, Esther? What you're saying is God came along, right? He made chickens. And then chickens decided to evolve, right? And so they're evolving, and that's fine. But nonetheless,
no.
So you've got the best of both worlds. Listen, it sounds incredibly exciting where you are, so I'm going to let you go. Thanks for calling the show, Esther, in Lincoln. So did you take note of that, Amy Jones?
Well, where did she start? Because she started off with saying that evolution was fact.
Yeah.
But then she said that the Bible says that evolution is fact.
No,
the Bible said that the chicken was created first.
We were made.
So you make sense out of that.
Yeah, well, what she's saying is that, yes, evolution happens, but we were made by God. So she's anti-evolution.
Right.
But she accepts that we've evolved since God was made chickens. Not that complex.
Sorry.
Just take notes.
Some of these callers are
just
tonight.
Yeah, some of these callers
not
are just
with it.
Operating. She, I think, was operating on a different level of intelligence. That's all.
Yeah, especially to me.
Okay, so let's move on. Let's take another call. Let's talk to Chris in Cannock. Okay, Chris, what are your thoughts?
Again, I'm not a great believer in evolution.
Man, is this insane? This is it. Okay, cool. So that's right. I'm going to take your call in a minute. I'm just a bit surprised. So Chris, hold where you are. Amy, another tick. This is the third one. So far, not a single person believes in evolution. Okay, Chris, you've got the floor. Take it away.
Yeah, well, I think there have been alterations, like, within the species, which is probably more adaption to environments, but as far as the actual core theory of evolution to do with, you know, Darwinian thoughts, etc., I don't think that the evidence supports it. I think man has always been man, whether we were slightly smaller area due to conditions we lived in, etc. But we've always been, you know, Homo sapien person, simple as that. You know, we haven't been a physical ape. As the Darwinian theory seems to support.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there wouldn't be any apes on the planet now. So.
Because what you're saying is, you know, why aren't apes still turning into people?
Exactly. If the theory of evolution, you know, stands up, then there wouldn't be, you know, your chimpanzees, your gorillas, etc. They would be human.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no, you know, how can you explain that one species evolves into the intelligent humans that we are, whilst another stays like a docile, you know, ape that, you know, we compare, you know, with chimpanzees and gorillas of today?
So, I guess what you're saying is that, you know, the fact in your mind that we're better than monkeys and stuff like that, right, the fact that we're better than them means that evolution can't possibly be right, because, you know, were it correct, then, you know, they wouldn't be around anymore because we're better than them, and they would have all changed into us.
Well, yeah, but we are a different species completely. You know,
as the other caller
said, you know, dogs are dogs, humans are humans.
Some people might think that's a bit
arrogant.
Gorillas
are gorillas, and chimpanzees are chimpanzees.
Yeah, but some people might think that's a bit arrogant for you to think that, you know, I mean, you would. You're a person. You're biased. You're bound to think people are amazing. But, you know, I mean, if you were to ask a monkey, the monkey would probably say, no, you lot are rubbish. We're much better.
But that's purely hypothetical because nobody could ever ask that question and get a sensible answer. So
yeah, exactly, because it wouldn't agree with your answer, would it? It'd be a very sensible answer to the monkey, though. The monkey would absolutely think the sensible answer was that humans are crap. Look at us. We need all this stuff. We're carrying all these clothes and equipment, technology. Look at us. You know, we can't survive. How many of us can climb trees and, you know, snatch bananas? We're rubbish.
Absolutely, but equally, couldn't a monkey possibly say, no, actually, you are right, you are a better species than us. Is that something that couldn't happen?
It could do, but, I mean, you know, it's so unlikely, isn't it? I think a monkey probably wouldn't say that. I think most monkeys, if they had a vote on it, most monkeys would agree that they were better than us. I'll tell you, the only species of animal I think possibly would think that we were the best is dogs, right? If you asked all of the dogs, they'd, you know, they probably could be cajoled with a few dog treats into saying that that we were the best. Other than that, every animal's going to think that they're amazing and we're not.
I think you could probably write your own title there and put it next to The Origin of the Species.
Do you think so? I'll get on it, Chris. Listen, thanks for the call. Chris and Canuck, what do? It's a show, not a programme. You know what? I tell you what, Amy Jones, if we were working for a major media organisation that's funded by the taxpayer, they'd be livid. They'd be going, what are you doing? Don't let people come
have
the
their
air
say.
And, yeah, say
don't
what
get
they
ideas
think.
What I
this
shouldn't.
Isn't right. Oh, God, you can't. Oh. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Listen, we're taking calls. 0845-688-1052. I mean, you know, I'm being honest with you when I say that I'm shocked that no one seems to believe in evolution, but that's fine. 0845-688-1052. That's my phone number. You call the show. Let's take some more calls. Let's talk to Phil in Sutton. Phil is calling in on the subject of evolution. What are your thoughts, Phil?
Hi, Mick. Some interesting callers, sort of confusing the issue. I sort of believe in the theory of evolution, but there's still lots of question marks around it, and there's a bit of, you know, grey matter that needs
what
to be
like,
sort of...
though? I thought it was pretty cut and dry. I thought this was a pretty sound theory.
I only got basic understanding of it, but obviously Darwin, you know, came up with this theory years ago. Time has, you know, moved on and everything. We're learning more and more about the world we're in sort of every day. One of the other callers was talking about evolution. We have the thing we got with Carrigan that knocked his whole theory out of the water was when he said that, you know, he dated us for about 4.5, the world's only 4,500 years old. I mean, that is just ludicrous, because that would just go back to, I mean, you know, the civilization is just before the Greeks, which are actually recorded history, and you know, so it's that's not true. And we are evolving, because even from the Bible, you know, to today, a couple of thousand years, the human race has gone on leaps and bounds as far as what technology we can do. You know, we're using our brain more.
Yeah, but even so, though, Phil, I have to chip in here, right? Even though I don't... I believe in evolution, personally, right? But it's kind of irrelevant what I think, because we're just taking calls on the subject at the moment. But let me just chip in. What you're talking about there is the evolution of ideas, right, which is different. People now, as you and I look, right, if we went in a time machine back to the beginning of the Earth 4,500 years ago, right? But if we did that, right, when we were there, right, and whatever we found, who knows, right, but whatever we found, right, the people would look pretty much like us. There wouldn't be any major differences, would there?
No, but it's not just theory of ideas, because you couldn't get somebody from, you know, if you put Jesus Christ in front of a sort of a car or a calculator or a thing, you know, or a computer, you know, he'd be... His brain wouldn't have had that. His intellectual
evolution.
No,
he'd pick it up, man. He'd pick it up.
He's Jesus Christ, but yeah.
Well, no, I mean, the guy, Jesus Christ's next door neighbour, Brian, right? Monty Python made a film about him. You could have got him.
He's a very naughty boy.
He was. And you could put him in front of a computer. You could explain it to him and he'd work it out. I mean, you know, we're not in any way evolved. Evolution, as I understand it, takes thousands of years to really happen. So, I mean, you know, really, if you're talking about back in 2,000 years ago, we haven't evolved much over that period, because there's only about 30 people, if you went down your ancestry, between me and the people that lived back then.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? So very little evolution has really taken place.
Yeah.
So the only way you can actually see evolution is if we had a time machine and we went back to the real beginning of the planet, right, millions of years ago, right?
And not 4,500 years.
Yeah, well, more than that. If we went to the proper beginning of the planet, right, and then we would be able to see little furry things running around and go, oh, look, they ultimately become people. But it takes millions and billions of years for it to happen. Does that make sense?
It does to me. There's still a lot of questions. I mean, the original reason why I rang in, was telling Alex, and it's quite apt your topic, because the company you alluded to earlier, I was actually down there today to watch a program I was involved with being filmed in June, which is it's a Horizon, and it's basically all about how we've evolved.
Oh, really?
From,
so you were making a documentary?
Well, I wasn't. I was a guinea pig in it.
Uh-huh, cool.
And basically, it was all about being naked, for want of a better expression,
really?
And how, as a species, we've evolved, and why we have evolved, and why we're the only sort of furless, sort of, you know,
naked
mammal.
Apes. Why are we naked apes? Well, why are we naked apes then, Phil?
Basically, obviously, there's a lot of science in the program, which I'll say I only saw it earlier, but the main thing is we obviously learned to stand up.
Yeah.
If we'd stayed as quadruped, then we wouldn't have needed. We'd have retained hair because, but standing up, it gives us a different cooling system.
Phil, you do me a favour, I've got to wrap up the call. Do me a favour, email the show once that's being broadcast and we'll mention that a listener to the show is on telly. Phil, thanks for the call, good to talk to you. Right, let's move on, I'm going to take another call. Let's take a few calls on a few other subjects.